Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir. And we're continuing today in our series on abounding faith. And you can find the bulletin insert in your bulletins. Just want to say tonight is going to be an exciting night. We have four water baptismal candidates going through the waters of baptism from the ages of 12 to 82. So that's pretty exciting. But in our pipeline service this evening, we're going to be talking about wait. And there's good things God has promised for those of us who wait. And so I want to encourage you, if you're free tonight, come to the mix at 6. We'll be having a time of prayer where I know that people will be, Jesus said, I am the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. There will be people that will be receiving the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we take time to do that. Also, there will be time for refilling and encouragement. So I want to encourage you to be a part of this evening. I do love the fall season because that's the time when all of our church ministries kick off in a fresh way. And one of the ways that we really love to begin the year is by bathing everything that we are doing in the place of prayer. And so we're going to be having our 7-Eleven. I did it again. I don't want you to say 7-Eleven. But every time this week that you see the store, 7-Eleven, I want you to say, yeah, we're having our 11-7. I kind of did it on purpose. Not really. But that does look like the 7-Eleven logo, but it's the 11-7. And the reason that we love to have this at the beginning of our season of prayer, and we have about three of these a year where we actually pray all through the night. Now, there were times when Jesus prayed all through the night where he spent the night in prayer and he received specific direction. And so we have specific things every hour from 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. that we're going to be praying about. And I want to invite all of you. We have about 80 people that have been a part of our 7-Eleven, 11-7 prayer family. And I just want to let you know what we're going to be doing this coming Friday to Saturday. I'm going to be beginning at 11 o'clock with the theme, God Keep Our Land, as we pray for Canada. How many of you believe that our nation needs prayer? And we're going into a federal election. And so from 11 to 12, I'll be praying for our nation. Pastor Jason will be leading from 12 to 1 on the greatness of our God. We're going to be praying for our choir, our worship teams, our media, the message, the worship that happens from 11 to 12. From 12 to 1, from 1 to 2, Pastor Sue's going to be leading us on the theme, giving our all for Jesus. From 2 to 3, Pastor Carson's going to be leading on growth, our spiritual next. From 3 to 4, Pastor Kyle's going to be preaching on knowing God, there is more. And I have to tell you, youth, I love your theme for this retreat, more, M-O-O-R. Who are you anchored to? And so I'm really praying along with you. And I know that I was chatting with Pastor Kyle yesterday at our morning of prayer, where we pray for the Lord's Day. And I was just chatting with him about his heart for our youth and young adults this year. And he said, you know, my heart is that they would really know more of God. And so there's more to know. From 4 to 5, Dr. Lillian Douglas and Lily Teske will be leading that hour, If My People, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's a call to fullness. And then from 5 a.m. until 6 in the morning, we're going to be having an hour of healing. We're going to be having an hour where we're praying for healing to take place. And so the healing that God has for us is a holistic healing. He came to bring us healing, salvation to spirit and soul and body. And so we're going to be just praying for needs for that hour. And then from 6 to 7, we'll be praying, as we do every Saturday, for the manifest presence here at Spawn, the Lord's Day. So I want to invite you to be a part of our 11-7. But we're continuing today on our final third week on abounding faith. We talked about abounding faith conceiving. In other words, it's not our idea. It comes from God. So there's a conception. We already talked about that. Then we talked about abounding faith believing. And last week we talked about continuing to ask, continuing to seek, and continuing to knock. But I like this thought, and it kind of ties into my life a little bit, because when I was in grade 9 in high school, now I like sports, and I play a little bit of sports. And in grade 7 and grade 8, I played flag football. Now, I was pretty good at throwing the football. I was pretty good at catching the football. And I was pretty good at running. So I was hoping that the coach, with his wisdom, would see the great potential in this grade 9 student as I tried out for the junior football team in high school. And if you can believe it, if you were to look at me strapping wet in high school, I weighed all of 149 pounds. So I was about 6'5", 149, just like totally, almost like skinny and bonesy, you know, that kind of a thing. And so I went out to try out for the football team, hoping that maybe I might get to be backup quarterback, or maybe I could be a wide receiver, run, catch the football. But the coach didn't see that potential in me. Instead, he put me in the position of defensive halfback. Now, for those of you that don't understand football, the offensive part of the team is the team that advances the ball. And the defensive part of the team is the part of the team that's supposed to stop the offense that's coming at you. Now, in case you're not familiar with who the defensive halfback is, what you need to do is picture me 149, all skinny and bones-like, dressed in a football uniform. And so as soon as the quarterback on the other team saw that skinny and bones was on the left side, do you know what they did? The quarterback received the ball, he passed it to the halfback, and then three bulls, weighing about 300 pounds, came in front of him and ran towards me. And so I spent that year on my back looking up at the sky, and that was my last year of football. Abounding faith receives. Listen, the things that God has placed in your heart, the things that God wants you to ask and seek and not knock for, as you come into a position of receiving, there's a goal ahead of you. There's a goal that you need to press into. There's action that you need to allow God to bring through you. And yes, there's actually an enemy. There's an opposing team. There's somebody who wants to frustrate in your life the plans and the purposes of God. But today we're going to talk about an abounding faith that receives. I'd like you, if you have an NLT, to turn to Mark 11. We're reading from there. If you don't have the NLT, just pick up that blue pew Bible right in front of you, please, and turn to page 772. And let's stand together. And I'm going to read from the Word of God, and you can follow along. Let's stand, please, as I read from Mark chapter 11. Abounding faith receives. The next morning, verse 12 of Mark 11, the next morning as they were leaving Bethlehem, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it, verse 20. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God." Would you say that with me, please? Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, "May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea," and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first, please say first, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, Father, as we're talking about faith, abounding faith. Abounding faith conceives, it comes from you. Abounding faith believes, it keeps on asking and seeking and knocking. But now, Lord, if you put something in our hearts, and we're speaking about life situations, we're speaking about circumstances, we're speaking about relationships, we're speaking about the plans and the purposes that you have called us for. And so now, Father, for those things that you've placed in our hearts, I ask that you'd, Holy Spirit, please come and through these words in this place today, don't allow us to be like the guy who catches the football and stands and waits there to get tackled. But Lord, let us be those who receive today, and let us be those who are able to perceive exactly what it is that you're calling us to do in faith. I pray it for the greater glory of Jesus Christ in us and through us, both now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Abounding faith receives. Please be seated. At the end of the message today, I'll be calling forward my board members. We'll be anointing you with oil, and I'm going to let you speak to these mountains. I'm going to let you come and speak to the mountains that may be in your way, or speak to the situations that you are trusting God for, that he's laid on your hearts over these past few weeks. First of all, receiving aspires to vital connection. If we're going to be people who are receiving what God wants us to do, then we're going to be aspiring to a vital connection with Jesus Christ. Jesus was hungry. I want you to know, friends, people are hungry. People are searching. People are looking for answers. And Jesus was hungry. And as Jesus was hungry, he noticed a fig tree, and as he looked at that fig tree, it was in full leaf. I mean, it looked good from the outside. Now, it's true that it wasn't the season for the fullness of figs. But even in the early part of the season, when a fig tree is like that, when it's displaying full leaf, you're going to expect that you're going to find something. It would be like kind of going to the blueberry bush early and getting some little blueberries that are maybe, you know, they're not totally ripe, but they're going to satisfy your hunger. So he noticed a fig tree in full leaf, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. Now, in the earlier service this morning, I said if I had another picture to choose other than this one, you know, for folks that have been around for a while, does anybody remember rabbit ears on the television set? All right. Remember? Full, like a connection. You're plugged into the wall there, and, in the airwaves, there's a signal, and you turn on the TV, and it's like, it's just fuzzy. So you adjust the wrap. Did anybody ever take tin foil or wire and, you know what I mean, right? Like, you need a connection. If you're going to see the news, you need a connection. And now it's the same with our smartphones. Don't you hate it when your smartphone is so dumb that it's not connected? I mean, you pull it out of your pocket and you got no bars. And so wherever you are, maybe you go to a place and you really, it's important. You need to be connected so that you can breathe and live, right? And so I'm trying to get a connection. This fig tree was like that. It's like waiting at the bus stop. It's like just waiting at the bus stop, waiting for the bus to come, and it's cold and it's rainy, and you need to get to where you're going, and you see the bus coming and you're so excited, and you read the sign on the front of the bus, not in service. That's what this was like. Jesus was hungry. And that fig tree looked great on the outside. You see, if we're going to be people who are actually rising up to what God has for us, we're going to be a people who are aspiring to a vital connection with Jesus. It's not some kind of a Sunday observance that we're longing for. No, it's a living faith in Christ. It's a growing faith in Christ. It's a deepening faith in God. That's why every Sunday morning we have Sunday Morning Alive, where we have classes for children and life groups for adults and for youth. And I mean, it's a place where people can grow in Christ. It aspires to vital connection, because without a vital connection, friends, we can do nothing. I mean, listen, we can do a lot as people. Like, God has gifted us with gifts and talents. We can do, men are, do you remember in the Bible, the Tower of Babel? They said, let's build a tower to go to God, and they began. Man is smart, because man is created in the image of God, and even outside of God's blessing, they began to build this tower, and God said, we better stop them, because they're going to build a tower to the heavens. But understand, we can't do anything of eternal significance without a vital connection to Christ. We can't do anything that's going to be meaningful. Jesus said, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain, would you please say remain? You see, the Christian life is not about making a decision. I was telling this to the people that were being baptized yesterday in the baptismal class when we were having our class. It's not about making a decision. It's about being a disciple. It's about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Those who remain in me. So if you're here today, and maybe when you were 4 years old, you knelt down with your mother by your bed and gave your heart to Jesus, it's not about that. It's about what's happening today. How's the connection today? Are you in service or out of service? It's not about looking good on the outside. It's about what's going on the inside. Those who remain, would you please say remain? Remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit. Listen, God doesn't want our Christian experience to be barren. God doesn't want our Christian experience to be some kind of a third hope. God wants our Christian experience to be fruitful. Those who remain in me, and I in them will produce much fruit. If you want to produce much fruit, would you say amen? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. And so an abounding faith that receives, that understands that there's, you know what, we got the ball and now we're going to move ahead. There's a goal line. There's an opposing team. I've got to move ahead in my faith. That aspires to a vital connection. And not receiving, bears the highest cost. You see, what happened when Jesus, we read it, right? When Jesus saw not even an indication of any fruit, like this tree looked so good on the outside. And friends, do you know in the New Testament, do you know who Jesus got angry with? Religious people. I mean, religious people looked good. They looked good on the outside. They looked really, really good. And even the people looked at them and they thought they were like this fig tree. But oh, Jesus said that you know what religion is? Religion is like deadness. Religion is like dead men's bones. And so it's not about being religious. And when you don't maintain as a Christian this vital connection with Christ, when you don't have that happening in your heart and in your life, when you don't wake up tomorrow and say, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm telling you, listen, there's a reason to fear God. Because Jesus saw no fruit. Looked great, no fruit. And then the disciples said, hey, look, Rabbi, the fig tree that you cursed yesterday has withered and died. It withered and died, it said, from the roots up. Fast. Fast. And so for those of us who want to live for God, may God make us receptive. Because I'll tell you something, friends, God wants not one person to be lost. As God gave his son for the world. Jesus Christ came and he died for the whole world. And he wants not one person to be lost. It doesn't matter what nationality they are. It doesn't matter where they live. The truth is this. God is not being slow with his promises today. God's coming. He's not really being slow about his promise like some people think. You know, there's people that say, oh, the world's going to go on like it always has. You know, they talk about, no, Jesus Christ is coming back. But God's not being slow about his promise like these scoffers think. No. He's being patient for your sake. If you're here today and you know about Jesus, but you don't know Christ, he's being patient for you. He loves you. He died for you so that you could have life. He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. God wants not one person to be lost. And God's desire is for all of us to know abundant life in Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, our experience with Jesus is not just so we can go to heaven. Our experience with Jesus is so we can know life and know it more abundantly. And you have an enemy. There's an opposing team. If you think somehow you can just pray a prayer and stand there, I'm telling you, you're going to get battered through this life. You have an enemy, and the thief, you know what he comes to do? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do to God's plan in your life. God has a great plan for you to bear great fruit. But you have an enemy. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. You know, I love that our church is called Southside Pentecostal Assembly. I love that. Because when people talk to me about what do? I say, oh, I'm a pastor. And they say, oh, really? I said, yeah, I pastor at Spa. Listen, this is a great thing to do. If you're ever telling people, just say, hey, what do you do on Sundays? I go to Spa. You go to a spa? Yeah. And do you know what our spa is about? You can read it here. Would you say it? It's Spa for Life. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God's desire is that all people would know life in Christ. And there's this spiritual death that is the result of people rejecting Christ. It's the worst thing that can ever happen to someone. The third thing about receiving faith is receiving faith calls forth communication. Now, I prayed earlier as we started this message today about the circumstances, about the situation that God has placed in your heart, God has placed in your life, the things that you're trusting God for, the things that you're believing God for. And at the close of this service, the board members are going to come, we're going to anoint you with oil, and you're going to come start speaking to these mountains. This is not a trick question now. In the natural, if you were driving, say, into Jasper or into Banff, is it possible for you to stand in front of a big mountain and say, go to Vancouver Island, and will it go? No. But Jesus isn't talking about the Rocky Mountains. He's talking about those things that stand in our way, those things that seem to block out the promise of God in our life, those things that overshadow what God has for us. Now, receiving, doing what God wants us to do, it calls forth communication. Jesus said, have faith in God. Would you please say that with me? Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say, circle that. You can say. So it's not just when there's a mountain in your way, when there's something you're trusting God for, when there's something you're believing God for, when you've plugged into his desires, you just don't just stand. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will happen. So understand that when we're receiving the promises of God, when we're in that posture of receiving, it calls forth some communication. I'll tell you what we confess. We confess the promises of God's word. Now, you may be facing a mountain today, and that mountain may seem daunting, and that mountain may put fear on you, and that mountain may seem overwhelming, and it may crush your faith. But you know what the Lord wants you to do today? God does not want you to tell him how big the mountain is. You tell the mountain how big your God is. We confess the promises of God's word because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. You confess the good promises that God has made. Speaking of the power of the word of God, Isaiah says this, it's the same with my word. I send it out. Or the word that goes out from my mouth, some translations say. It always produces fruit. Listen, God hasn't called you to be fruitless. God hasn't called you to have a little fruit. God has called you to be fruitful. It always produces fruit. My word will accomplish all I want it to. And my word will prosper everywhere I send it. That's why, even though it wasn't the season for gathering figs, Jesus wanted some fruit. And I'll tell you something, friends. You can bear fruit in every season. Even in the midnight hours of your life, you can sing a song unto the Lord. We confess the promises of God's word. That's the communication that we send forth. And we align our faith with the commandments of God. You know, in the very beginning, before anything was written down in this book, in fact, before the world came to be, the earth, it says, was formless, and the earth was void. And you know what God did? God spoke, and he said, let there be light, and bang, there was light. And you read all through the creative process, God spoke, and there was. God spoke, and there was. And when we're wanting to communicate and receive what God is calling us to believe him for in faith, we need to align our faith with the commands of God, because by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Look now, that what we now see, everything you see, did not come from anything that can be seen. And isn't that the very definition of faith in Hebrews 11 and 1? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things we don't yet see. So what is it that God's placing in your heart? What is it that God is promising it through your life? You need to be those who align yourself with the commandments of God. And understand this, child of God, that in Jesus Christ, we commune with the living word. In the beginning, John writes in 1:1, was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And Jesus says to you as his child, as his son, as his daughter, you come on, you can come, you can ask me for anything. You can ask the Father in anything in my name. And so receiving calls forth communication. The fourth thing that receiving faith does is receiving faith demonstrates a confidence in God. When we place ourselves in the storms of life, when we place ourselves in the battles of life, when we place ourselves in those dark seasons or those desert seasons of life, and we begin to confess and trust God, I'll tell you something, receiving faith, it demonstrates a confidence in God. And so Jesus says this about your mountain. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, can I take a little straw poll here, a little survey? I just want to ask you, when when you're facing something that's bigger than you, when you're facing something that is daunting and actually can make you fearful, is there anybody here that ever has a twinge of doubt in their heart? Well, me and Pastor Carson and three others. I want you to know I do. Sometimes when something comes before me in my life, it may be an unexpected illness. It may be something that happens in a relationship. It may be something that happens in a family. It could be a situation that happens in the sphere where God has me living. Sometimes when it's something big, sometimes there's doubts that come into my heart. But I want you to know something. God doesn't leave you when you have doubts in your heart. God is here, and he's here to help you all along life's way. He's here to help you all along life's journey. Let me tell you the story of a dad. There was a dad who had a son, and this son from a very young age was possessed by a demon. And this demon was just trying to destroy this son. The son would be thrown into the fire. The son would convulse. The son was just looking like he'd be dead, but God kept this son alive. And this father heard about Jesus. He heard about the ministry of Jesus. He heard about the one who opened blind eyes and the one who calmed the raging seas. And so he sought out Jesus. He heard where Jesus would be, and he took his son. He brought his son to Jesus. Now, the day that he brought his son to Jesus, Jesus wasn't there. He was actually up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John. But it was okay because the disciples were there, and you'll remember that Jesus had given his disciples authority. And his disciples had went out two by two, and they'd laid their hands on people, and they were healed, and they had laid their hands. One time they came back, the disciples did, from a ministry tour, and they said, "Even the demons submit to our authority, Lord, in your name." And Jesus said, "Hey, listen, don't you be impressed that the demons submit to your authority, but be glad that your names are written down in the eternal book of life." So this father, even though Jesus wasn't there, he brought the boy to the disciples. And so they began to pray for him and lay hands on him and tried to release this boy from the demons, but it only got worse. And then Jesus was coming off of the mountain. And rather than hearing the sound of victory, he heard the sound of mourning. He knew something was wrong. Do you remember when Moses came off the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments? He was listening to the songs, and he said, "That's not the song of God." And they had built a golden calf, remember? It was this kind of a situation. So Jesus comes off the mountain and sees this father distraught with this demon-possessed boy, and he says, "What happened?" And the father says, "Well, I brought my boy who's demon-possessed to your disciples, and they prayed, but nothing happened." And Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long do I need to be with you? And bring the boy to me," he said. And Jesus delivered the boy. The boy was made whole. In that process, Jesus, as he was talking to the father, and the father was explaining what was happening to his son, this is what the father said, and we can understand this. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Would you have mercy on us? And would you help us if you can?" Have you ever felt like that, friends? I have. It's like, God, are my prayers even reaching the ceiling? God, is the prayer and fasting that's going, is it absolutely doing anything, or is it just bouncing? Do you even hear me, God? Can I be honest? God, do you even really care? If you can, Jesus said, anything is possible for a person who believes. And so, friend, if you're here and if there's a situation or some circumstances that are overwhelming, that are bigger than you, that are seeming to be in the way of what God has for you, listen to me. Anything is possible if a person believes. And I love what this dad said, even though he had that experience with the disciples. He instantly cried out, "I do believe." Would you say that with me, please? "I do believe." Say it again. "I do believe." And that's what you're going to be able to do at the end of this message. "I do believe, Lord, but help me overcome my unbelief." That's the posture God wants us to be in, to say, "I believe," because he is here to help us all along life's way, and he understands what we're going through. Listen, even Jesus showed us how to persevere in healing. Now, not a trick question. How many of you believe that Jesus was always fully anointed? Like, he's the Son of God. He had an anointing unlike anyone. He was given the Holy Spirit without measure. How many of you believe that Jesus always prayed the perfect prayers? I mean, he did. He was the Son of God. And yet one day he prayed for a blind man. And he prayed for this blind man. And after praying for the blind man, he said, "Can you see?" And the blind man, who could never see, kind of looked out and he said, "Well, kind of. But I can't, I don't know what is that? Like, is that like trees?" Like he couldn't see clearly. And so you know what Jesus did? He prayed again. He prayed again. Jesus even showed us how to persevere in healing. If you pray once and it doesn't happen, pray again. If you believe once and it doesn't take place and you know that it's the will of God, keep on believing. Keep on praying. So Jesus placed his hands on him, the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. Oh God, give us that kind of spiritual insight. Lord, would you place your hands on our eyes today, right now? God, would you give us spiritual insight? Would you give us spiritual understanding? God, would you remove the blinders from our hearts and our minds that we might press in to the fullness of what you've planned and purposed for us? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you help us today spiritually to see everything clearly? Because I'll tell you, friends, our hope is fueled as we exercise our faith in Jesus. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And our hope is fueled as we exercise our faith in Jesus. I mean, the disciples knew Jesus better than anybody. But we have no idea the despair that the disciples went through when Jesus died and was buried. They were in a room and the blinds were drawn and they were all afraid, thinking maybe that they'd be crucified too. And it was a Sunday night. And I don't know where Thomas was, but all the disciples were there behind the blinds and Jesus showed up. And later on, Thomas came and all the disciples said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." And he said, "Yeah, right. You guys are off your rocker. I will not believe." I mean, he was just heartbroken. He was. What do we call him? We don't call him Thomas. We call him, Doubting Thomas. He was heartbroken. "I won't believe," he said, unless I touch his hands, and unless I put the." By the way, that's a great reason to come to church on Sunday night. He missed that Sunday night service, and look what he missed, Jesus. But the next Sunday evening service, he was there. He was there. And Jesus showed up again, and Jesus said, "Thomas, come here. Touch me. Thomas, put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless. Believe." And friends, when we're addressing things that want to put a blanket of fear on us or that want to squelch out our faith, Jesus would say, not in condemnation, but in love, "Don't be faithless. Believe." And Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me." Now, this is what Jesus is saying to us. Here's the truth, friends. There's not many of us, if any of us, who are going to literally see Jesus until we die or until he comes in the clouds, because Jesus has told us that the just will live by faith. We live by faith. We live by faith in his word. We live by faith in his promises. "You believe because you've seen me." This is what Jesus is saying to us today. Your circumstance, your situation. "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." There's a blessing for you as you press on in faith and believe without seeing. Fifth thing about receiving excites completion. When we're in a posture of receiving, it excites the completion of God. Listen, God can do whatever he wants, but God has chosen to put you right in the middle of the faith activity thing. God's chosen to put your life and your faith right in the middle of what he wants to do in this world. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, this is not like some kind of, wow. I don't know. I didn't see the movie Aladdin, but this is not like the Aladdin's lamp, you know? Wow, I can pray for anything. I want a Mercedes. I want a bigger house. No. Jesus said, "I don't come to do the will of me. I come to demonstrate the will of my..." You understand. We're not talking about human whims and human desires. We're talking about the plans and the purposes and the will of God. You can pray for anything. Would you please say anything? Circle it. You can trust him for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So there's that activity of believing. There's that activity of receiving and then believing that it will come forth. The truth is this. Anyone can ask God for anything in his will. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. If you come to the Father in the name of Jesus, you can ask him for anything. Jesus said, I tell you the truth today, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have been doing and even greater works than these. You know, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be having combined morning service when we have our spa Thanksgiving. You want to know what a greater work is? It's when people like you bring a sacrifice. You're willing to lay earthly stuff aside to sacrifice for world missions. And we have our director for international missions, Murray Cornelius. He'll come on Sunday morning in 2 weeks' time, and he'll be speaking on world missions. And then at 1:30, I'll be speaking on home missions. And of course, we're going to have our pastors singing, and it's going to be a great day. We're going to celebrate. We're going to eat together. But I want you to begin to pray. I mean, missions is a greater work. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about the Great Commission. It's about investing in the lives of people who are spending their lives for the gospel all over the earth. And I want to ask you, even now, begin to pray and say, God, what worthy sacrifice can I bring? And I want you to lay some earthly stuff aside and plant, as we heard today, plant some seeds financially and watch the harvest that God will bring, a spiritual, life-giving harvest to the ends of the earth. Even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father, and you can ask anything in my name and I will do it, so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes! Would you please say yes? All of the promises of God for you are yes, and the amen is spoken in Jesus Christ. So yes, ask me for anything and I will do it. And we're going to do that in just a moment. Board members that are here, would you come and receive some anointing oil, please? Number 6, receiving furthers compassion for all. But when you are praying, first, would you please say first? First of all, forgive anybody. This is interesting because one day when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave them what we know as the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And now he ended that with the same thing. First, forgive anybody you're holding a grudge against so your Father in heaven will forgive you. I like this graphic because it talks about what unforgiveness does to us. Unforgiveness chains us up. Somebody said about forgiveness this, you know what? I forgave someone, and you know what I realized? I was the prisoner. And that's what happens when we forgive. We're able to be set free. We're able to soar. We're able to gain a new perspective. We're able to go to a greater place in God. Furthering receives compassion for all. First, forgive anyone. Please say anyone. So first and anyone. So can I ask you today, is there anybody you're holding a grudge against? I want you to forgive them today. And not only that, it's interesting. Sometimes it talks about people offering their gift at the altar. Offering their gift at the altar. And it says, don't offer your gift at the altar, not because they have something against somebody, but hey, somebody has something against you and you know that they do, go to them and say, hey, listen, I don't want there to be anything. First, forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. Receiving furthers compassion to all. Christian, remember something. God has called you his very own. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that you should be called the sons and daughters of God. You are his child. You are forgiven. So get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So there I was in grade 9 on the football field. Actually, sometimes they put me on the special team. I remember one time, They let me receive a kickoff, 149 pounds, half dead because I'd been playing defensive halfback half of the year. The ball came, I caught it, I ran, I died. But listen, friends, Jesus Christ is on your side. It's the Lord Jesus who's calling forth these things from your life. We've been talking about abounding faith. Abounding faith conceives. It comes from God the Father. What are those things that God has placed in your heart? Abounding faith is a believing faith. It keeps on asking and seeking and knocking. But you know what? Listen to me now. Putting yourself in this posture of receiving. Putting yourself in this posture of receiving and saying, I'm speaking to this mountain. and this mountain's going to move, and it's going to be cast into the sea in the name of Jesus Christ, because God, you've placed this in my heart, and this is your will, and it's your promise. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to start speaking to a mountain. So I want you to stand. Pastor Jason, lead us in a song. And as he sings, come and be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. And you come and you begin to speak to your mountain as we worship the Lord. We're going to close in a word of prayer in just a moment. Not going to take long. Come as we sing.